So, the title for today, Attitude Equals Altitude. Let me just give a brief explanation, is that the attitude that we have will depend on how close we are with Adonai, how high we're able to get with him. We all know having a good attitude when things are going well is easy, right? That's the easy part. It's when things aren't going quite as well that our attitudes come under pressure. And sometimes, you know, we cave a little bit. But what happens is, the reality is, when we're under that pressure, the attitude that we have really starts to show who we really are. And this is why we need to be vigilant about our attitudes, about who we are, what we think. These are the times that will determine our attitude and how high we get with Adonai. As I say, during the easy times, it's easy. During the tough times, that determines who you are. Because the better our attitude is, both regarding Adonai and the way that we go through life and these difficulties, the better our relationship with Adonai will be, or the higher our altitude will be in relationship with Adonai. Our attitude is the difference between having a bad day as we go through life and its difficulties, or living through a funny story. Because we've all had those days, those times where things are really tough. But afterwards, when we look back, we say, you know, now that I look back on it, it's funny. And I can tell that story a whole lot easier and not feel bad about it. Well, what's the difference? Afterwards, your attitude has changed about it. Well, what happens if we could change that attitude to have changing from afterwards to maybe during or before? It would make living through hard times easier. It would mean living through a funny story while it's funny at the time. It would make things so much easier. For most people, their fleshly nature is what? To have that bad attitude as you're going through it. That's what the flesh does. It wants to bing right over to the bad attitude, as opposed to being strong and standing up during those poor times. Most people, their fleshly nature is just defaulted in that way. By rising up over our attitudes and sin, it'll allow us freedom in Messiah Yeshua. And this is what Shaul is telling us, you know, in a couple of writings that he has, and he does have a couple, doesn't he? In Galatians and other writings, he says something about having an attitude, really. Galatians 5:1, starting there, it says, "For freedom, Messiah set us free. So stand firm and do not be burdened by the yoke of slavery again." It is our attitude which can become a sin for us that can then become the yoke of slavery to us. That bad attitude that will drag us down and make all things harder. Our attitude, if not correct, will become the heavy yoke that we wear and that will wear us down and drag us down into an exhausted world. Most of us already know that these attitudes are and sins are what they are. They can be seen as a list, in fact, in Ephesians 4. So today, I want to review Ephesians 4, 22 through 32 to review just where we are on our attitudes, where we should be with our attitudes, and hopefully they'll help us rise up instead of sinking us down. So we're going to start in Ephesians 4:22, where Shaul, the Apostle Paul, first tells us to put aside the old self with the attitudes that we had before accepting Yeshua as Messiah, and to put the new self and new attitudes on. He says this in Ephesians, starting in 4:22. With respect to your former lifestyle, you are to lay aside the old self corrupted by its deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There, verse 23 is really a short verse right in the middle of it, which says in the tree of life, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Other versions have kind of interesting ways of saying it. The NIV says, to be made new in your attitude of your mind. And the Amplified Classic says, and be consistently renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. We can see the emphasis is not on our thinking so much, but on the attitude that we carry around with us. We've seen these verses used before that say, don't sin. Most of the time, these verses are used just to say, don't sin. But the sin really starts with our attitude towards the sin. Adonai and other people. We have attitudes, whether it's good or bad, towards Adonai, towards people, and towards sin. So Shaul says to be sure that you do not slip back into the old lifestyle and attitudes that'll drag you down from the altitude with Adonai. Don't be one anchored on the ground in sin with the world. That calling to renew your spirit of your mind is a call to remember how to think about things, or in other words, your attitude towards them. By maintaining the proper attitude, you're putting on the righteousness and holiness of Adonai that he created you to live in. The righteousness and the holiness are the things that will lift us up into an altitude with him by your attitude you maintain. We read in the passage in Romans 6 as a way of saying not to sin in your body when it says this, starting in 6:11 of Romans. So also continually count yourself both dead to sin and alive to God and Messiah Yeshua. Therefore, do not let sin rule in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. And do not keep yielding your body parts to sin as tools of wickedness, but yield yourself to God, to those who's alive from the dead, and your body parts as tools of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So how do we yield our body parts? How do we not yield our body parts to sin? Are we called to take our arm? Hey, don't do that. Don't. No, that's not really the way to do it. It starts with your attitude of your mind. We must recognize and know that we will not stop sinning if our attitude is that the sin is not so bad and won't do harm. You must turn your thinking and attitude away from the sin before you can turn your body away from the sin. And as we go forward in reading Ephesians 4, we'll see that it's not just physical sin that we need to change our attitude towards, but also sins that originate in the mind and either stay in the mind or come out and escape through the tongue. So Ephesians 4:25. So lay aside lying, and each one of you speak truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Shaul, speaking from the Tanakh again, because that isn't that what he always does? He speaks from the Tanakh. He doesn't come up with new teachings. He speaks from Torah. He speaks from the Tanakh. He speaks to a new generation. He speaks to different peoples, sometimes to Jews, sometimes to Gentiles. Here, Shaul's teaching by writing to the Gentiles the word of the prophet Zechariah from Zechariah 8. Starting in Zechariah 8:14, it says this. For thus says Adonai Tetzvaot, just as I determined to harm you when your fathers provoked me to anger, says Adonai Tetzvaot, and I did not relent, so I have again determined in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. These are the things that you are to do. Speak the truth to one another. Administer the judgment of truth and shalom in your gates. Do not let any of you devise evil in your hearts against your neighbor. And do not love false oaths. For I hate all these things. It is a declaration of Adonai. The prophet says here that Adonai was angry and sent them into exile, but now will redeem them. But here's what Adonai is expecting of them. Well, we should be able to see the parallels from the Jewish exiles and redemption, their redemption, and the redemption of the world through Yeshua today. And the requirements are the same. Do not speak lies, but tell the truth to each other. Adonai says through the prophet that he hates lies, devising evil, and false oaths. I feel very New York when I say oaths. Adonai does not just say, hey, I don't like it when you do that. He says he hates it enough that it'll get in the way of redemption. Adonai wants to make it very clear. So what does he do? He doesn't just say it in the Tanakh. He says it in the Brit Hadashah as well, repeating the truth over again, just so that you'll get it regardless of whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Now, we go back to our text in Ephesians 4. Shaul moves to the next attitude to watch out for, and we see that in Ephesians 4:26. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, nor give the devil a foothold. Shaul speaks not about getting angry, but allowing it to rise to a level of sin. He wants us to check our attitude about anger and not allow it to get away from us. Because when anger gets away from us, it allows Satan to move in and get a foothold in our lives. It controls not just the situation, but it controls the person who is just that very angry. There's a time and place for some anger, but not a rage that moves you to a place of uncontrolled actions. Shaul uses two verses from Psalms to make a point. And I could just imagine Shaul if he had PowerPoint back then. It'd be PowerPoint after PowerPoint of Old Covenant's teachings. Well, here we go. Psalm 4, verse 5, if you're using Hebrew texts such as Tree of Life, verse 4, if you're in English scriptures. Tremble, but do not sin. Search your heart while on your bed and be silent. Selah. And also Psalm 37. And you know, I think Psalm 37 is a great psalm of how to live by. So Psalm 37 says, in verse 8, put away anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. Deal with and put away that excess anger, because if it's not dealt with by the end of the day, then it'll fester and it'll lead you to do evil. I would say, and take it a step further, don't allow the angry thoughts a place in your mind and heart, because once loose, they'll be very difficult to rein in. When allowed to run, they will cause evil by your thoughts and eventually by your hands. The attitude that we need to have is one of forgiveness, and perhaps even to what to think. And we need to put a throttle on our anger. When we feel that anger well up, and we're not just talking a little mad, we're talking about anger and rage. When we feel it well up, take a step back, cool off, and consider what to do next by the Ruach, and not what to do next by the flesh. It's not the anger that truly is the issue. It's what you allow it to do next that's the problem. Saying that you're angry is okay. It's a feeling that you're allowed to have. Everyone has some anger. But allowing it to grow and flower into an action against someone, that's what Adonai really hates. Zechariah says that it's when anger is allowed to devise evil in your heart, that's the problem. So we need to work on the attitude that will allow our anger to progress to that point. Now, the next attitude, going back to Ephesians, that Shaul speaks about, is theft. Ephesians 4:28 says, the one who steals must steal no longer. Instead, he must work, doing something useful with his own hands, so he may have something to share with the one who has need. Stealing is from an attitude of laziness, that I don't have to work for it. It's an attitude that the other person doesn't deserve it, or I want it more than he or she does, so I can just take it from them. It could also be false pride. I'm better than they are and deserve it more than they do. That's a problem. Unlike anger, where we're told, don't allow your anger to get away from you. Stealing is not like that. It doesn't say you can steal a little and just don't let it get away from you. It says, don't. Not only does it say, don't steal, it says, go and work. And then share what you've worked for with others. I'd like to point out that the instructions of sharing with someone, it doesn't say specifically whether it's towards family members who can't provide for themselves, or the stranger who can't provide for himself. It's a statement that just says, do it. Doesn't say who to do it for. Just do it. Do what you can for who you can. I think this is where so much of today's society falls. And I'm not excluding myself in this statement. I would think that almost all of us could do a little something extra than we currently are. Now, the next attitude comes from verse 29 out of Ephesians. Ephesians 4:29, let no harmful word come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for building others up according to the need, so that it gives grace to those who hear it. much like the verse that we started off with at the beginning of the Ephesians passage, starting in verse 25, we're back to words. And the words now that come out of your mouth, the previous verses could be seen as though what we're talking about are what the words in your mind. But now Shaul speaks specifically about the words that come out of your mouth. We know that words have power, and they have great power. That we see this in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18:20. Most of us know this. From the fruit of the mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest of his lips, he's satisfied. Death and life are in the control of the tongue. Those who indulge in it will eat its fruit. Words spoken out can satisfy someone who hears them with a full stomach, and they can also cause life and death, not just of yourself as a speaker, but the one who hears it, and especially to the one that the words were pointed towards. We know that prayers spoken out, and especially when they're agreed to by others, have great power. But as true as it is in the positive, it's true in the negative as well. Evil, negative words spoken out to rip someone down have the same power as words spoken out loud to build up an individual. We need to take great care with the words that we use around people. This, I believe, is why Scripture calls us to be careful to build others up, and perhaps even call it not just a thing to do, but a thing we have to do to build others up. Romans 15, starting in verse 1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of the powerless and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, for building him up. I would say and encourage that when it says that we ought to bear the weakness of the powerless, it doesn't mean just when we feel like it. But it's really a commandment of God to use our words to support and build others up in their weakness. I know that we cannot like 100% of the people 100% of the time. I'm not that foolish. But we are called to encourage 100% of the people 100% of the time. To build them up in their weakness so they can better walk with Adonai. We are called to help them to achieve an altitude by changing their attitude. This is the calling not just of speaking the good news to some, but to everybody. Now, the final instruction from Ephesians 4 is in regards to our attitudes is perhaps the most important. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Ruach HaKodesh of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. First, let me say the fact that you can grieve the Ruach proves that he's not just a force, as some people think, a spirit, a force that just kind of floats around. He is God. He's one of the Godheads. He's the person of God, not just a feeling. You can't grieve something. I can't grieve a chair. You can only grieve something that has feelings and who lives. That's the Ruach. I can also say people who mean nothing to me cannot grieve me. It's really someone that I love that's going to grieve me. or that I can grieve. It's the same with the Ruach. He loves you, so that means you can grieve him. How do we grieve the Ruach? It's by having attitudes that we should not have and doing things we should not be doing. We see this happen in Isaiah 63, where Adonai says that he loved Israel, but they turned from him. So he said this, Isaiah 63:10. But they rebelled. They grieved his Ruach HaKodesh. So he turned to become their enemy. He himself fought against them. Boy, those words right after Passover reminds me, right? He himself caused the plagues. He himself led Israel out. He himself fought against Israel because they grieved the Ruach HaKodesh. Why did he fight against them? It was really for more than just being angry, but in his grieving, he turned against them so that they would turn back towards him. Of all the things that could happen, maybe the most scariest of all is when a mighty, mighty God turns against you. The mightiest of all, turning his arm and strength against anyone should make them tremble. But they'll only tremble if they recognize what's really happening. If they don't realize that they're grieving the Spirit, if they don't realize the things that are happening is because they grieve the Spirit, they're not going to tremble because they just don't know to tremble. The good news that can come out of this situation is that they can be turned. They can turn back to the King of Kings, and they can live in his loving kindness, his chesed again. What turns Adonai against anyone? These are the final two verses from Ephesians, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31 is a summary, a warning, and instructions to us all. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and quarreling and slander along with all malice. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving with each other as God and Messiah also forgave you. If you didn't get the idea of what attitude and actions to get rid of by the previous verses and instructions, here's a nice little synopsis, a list of bad attitudes and good attitudes for you. Get rid of these. Take on those. Get rid of the bad attitudes. Take on these good attitudes. Don't be bitter. Be compassionate towards others. Don't rage and anger and fighting with each other. But instead, forgive each other. If Adonai can do it towards you, you should be able to do it towards others as well. Your attitude is what you choose to feel and act towards others. We all feel things, happiness and joy, anger and other intense feelings, but we are to welcome the good attitudes and fight the bad attitudes that we have. In other words, we must put aside attitudes. Let me re-say that because I said it wrong. We must put attitudes before circumstances. The fact is, whether you recognize it or not, whether you accept it or not, that bad attitude makes bad circumstances. The way you look at things will determine how things will go for you. Now, I'm not saying that you can speak things into being, but you can speak attitudes into yourself, whether those attitudes be bad or good. Your attitude is the power to change how you interact with the world and how the world will interact with you. You must make the right choices and determine which attitudes you'll have in order to gain power from Adonai. Not only to gain the power of Adonai, but to gain the altitude which will enable you to be with Adonai in the heights of heaven even before you gain entrance into heaven. Our attitudes will determine who and what we are so that we should never give up. Never cave into that attitude of giving up. Our attitudes must come from Adonai. They must come from scripture that he gave us. We defeat Satan by our attitudes. Look what we're told in just a couple of verses in Philippians. Rav Shaul tells us what to do and what attitudes to have. Philippians 4:9, and then I'm going to skip down to 13. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, put these things into practice, and the God of Shalom will be with you. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. Shaul knew the attitudes to have when we're in the presence of Adonai and wants to teach each of us the same, because then we also will be able to do the things through the Messiah who gives us strength and to get us through all things. There's one last thing that I want to say. We will become the attitude that is the strongest around us. If we surround ourselves with negative attitudes, then we will become negative. And when we surround ourselves with positive attitudes, then we become positive and buoyant and rise up to Adonai. Adonai is the largest and strongest of positive attitudes that we can know and be around. But Satan is the largest and strongest attitude the world knows. And if we allow ourselves to be around it for too much time, then we become that attitude. Some will say that a positive attitude is not enough to live victorious life. But I'll finish with a word from Isaiah to show that they're wrong. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and you will condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of Adonai's servants. Their vindication is from me. It is a declaration of Adonai. A positive attitude in Adonai will raise you up into an altitude with Adonai, who will vindicate you in every situation. Father, we thank you that we can come to you for positive attitudes, positive instructions, your word, which will positively affect us. Father, we want to turn away from the negative of the world, of Satan and their attitudes and his attitudes that try to implant themselves into us. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to rise up in our attitudes. Help us to fend off the attitudes that are not of you. Help us to be who you want us to be, to rise up to the levels you would have us rise up to. To bless you, to honor you, and to help others as we walk about proclaiming your word and the victory that is through you. We want to walk with you in all things. And everyone says, amen and amen.